An ambitious businessman wants it all in life.
John had a loving wife at home with a family.
But that's not enough.
There were many times where he felt like it was just too late.
As a seemingly pious couple combats its inner demons,
she made John feel like the hottest guy in the room.
The darkest temptations lurk around the corner.
He's lying.
She was a chameleon. What she was surrounded by is what she became.
It seems this match made in heaven is heading straight to hell.
John never meant for anything bad to happen to Nikki.
It was brutal, and it was cold-blooded.
Love may be blind, and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. California Baptist University provides the perfect Christian education for 19-year-old John Hillrich.
Religion was always very important to Johnny. He had very good morals growing up. He never partied. He was not one to do a whole lot of bad things. He's always seemed to stick true to his values.
Values such as faith, loyalty, and hard work. But religion isn't his only interest. He's got his eye on Nikki Welshear.
Nikki and Johnny were both going to school at the time, and they were both working at the YMCA, and that's where they met.
Hands up!
What?
Sorry, it slipped out of my hand. Can I have my ball back?
This ball?
No. I'm gonna need that ball back. I got students, they're waiting for me.
Well, I guess you should have thought of that before trying to kill me with it.
I wasn't trying to kill you with it. It leapt out of my hand.
Okay. I think that Johnny was attracted to Nikki because he had a good time when he was around her. Hello, ball. I'm Nikki. Who's the guy you're with?
I'm John. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
What didn't attract Nikki to John? He was obviously very handsome. He's tall. Very smart.
And soon enough, this young love blossoms.
Johnny had Nikki as his first serious relationship, and I think he was excited to have somebody around and spend a lot of time with. What? I'm not gonna kiss you here in the middle of the hallway.
It's been like, what, a year and a bit since we've been seeing each other. How do you feel about cats? Lots of them? How do you feel about us?
This is how I feel.
Nikki is studying to be a nurse, and John is working towards a business degree.
They also both wanted to have careers and, you know, have children, so they had some interests in common there. Johnny and Nikki got married shortly after they met each other. And they both seemed very happy.
Religion continues to play a large role in their lives.
They attended church together every week.
She was, I think, teaching Sunday school, you know, and loved it.
What do you think?
It looks great. Mm-hmm. Just like you.
It's a blissful beginning for the newlyweds. And John quickly lands a job at an ad sales company.
Nikki's stepdad was influential in getting John a kind of a entry-level position with the company.
Here you go.
Which was very difficult to get in.
Immediately, from the time John started in advertising sales, he excelled.
Hi, John Hillrich here. Yeah, yeah, are we on for Friday?
He had a very definite goal and plan.
Hey, have a good weekend.
To move up in the organization. And he wanted to be CEO someday. People looked up to John. He was not a leader just because of the title that he had, but he really, really, really cared about people.
John's rise to the top is helped by Nikki, who keeps the home fires burning even while working as a nurse.
Nikki was a caretaker by nature. They were a great fit because she was able to take care of the home and he was able to take care of the rest.
Hey.
Hi.
Got you some flowers.
Thank you.
But John's climb up the corporate ladder means he travels often.
I do know Nikki, at times, from what I heard through John, was frustrated because he was so committed to work. I definitely would say that John could put work way ahead of anything else.
As John is promoted from office to office, the young couple is also on the move. But when Nikki becomes pregnant with their first child, Sarah, all that changes.
They actually had a very hard time conceiving and were wondering if they were going to be able to. So when we got the news that Nikki was pregnant, everybody was very, very excited. And that's when she decided to stay home and be a full-time mom.
She's perfect.
Do you think you can take any extra time off work?
I don't know. It's a really busy time for me right now.
Take it. We'll talk later.
Hello?
Around the house, she was the one that had to do everything.
It was probably stressful for Nikki to be at home a lot and taking care of kids. At times by herself while he was working.
Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell are concerned that John and Nikki's priorities are no longer the same.
It's hard to raise a child alone. When your husband's gone all the time, it can be exhausting. And so it's very possible that what happened with her is she began to grow resentful, she was worn out, and not communicating those things. And that can impact the relationship.
Men will see working a lot, spending a lot of time at the office as sort of their way of doing the best they can for their family, even if it takes them out of the home a lot. And that can be okay if both partners in the marriage see it as that. But if there is disagreement about that, if somebody is saying, okay, it's too much, we don't need all this, I don't want all this, I want you around more, and there starts to be disagreement around that, that there can be resentment and conflict from it.
John's hard work does have its benefits. Before long, the couple purchases their dream home in Yucaipa, California.
Yucaipa's kind of like the country compared to the city they grew up in, so it was very laid back. They had a beautiful house.
And John's career continues to thrive.
You look handsome.
We had lots of award ceremonies throughout the course of a year. Functions, parties, different things.
Sure you don't want to come tonight? Last chance. I'd really love to show you off to everybody.
Not tonight, John.
And, you know, Nikki just did not go. And I never fully understood why.
It's hard work to raise kids. She seemed to be very devoted to them, give them a lot of her time and attention.
John was very vocal to me that he was not happy that Nikki didn't show up for events. I wish my wife was here with me. You know, I wish she could celebrate this because this is a big part of my life. And she wasn't there to support that.
But John's work achievements aren't totally ignored.
Thanks.
All the women at work did love John.
I think women in general were attracted to him, and I definitely saw that on occasion in the office at times, you know.
One in particular is Denise Lopez, 12 years older than John, divorced with children, and a successful businesswoman.
So, are you going to that awards dinner thing tonight?
Probably. Are you?
Only if you're going. I have to support our best regional manager, don't I?
Denise was very, you know, flirtatious and very outgoing. Kind of life of the party, very fun. Friends with pretty much everybody.
I'll see you there.
I hope so.
Yeah, the shared interest at work, so there was an immediate connection.
Despite his connection with Denise, in 2002, John and Nikki become proud new parents to baby number two, a boy named Mark. But with another baby comes a whole new set of challenges.
Right after their son was born, I noticed a strain in Johnny and Nikki's relationship.
Is there any coffee?
No, I've been up all night with the baby.
he brought the question up to me around, hey, Rick, you know, when your wife had your first child, did she lose the baby weight pretty quick? Did it take very long? How did that go? How did you handle that?
Don't worry about it. Fix him up on my way to work.
It's the tip of an iceberg that will wreck John and Nikki's marriage.
I think in the beginning, John wanted it a couple of ways.
Nikki was just not there.
Young ad exec John Hillrich struggles with the conflict between being a godly husband to wife Nikki and his growing attraction to his attentive colleague, Denise.
I definitely believe that John was struggling with what he believes in and his religious beliefs. Denise and John would be together at a lot of these work functions and events, and Nikki was just not there.
Eventually, temptation gets the best of John.
John and Denise's relationship when it first started was very quiet and secretive.
But for Denise, this is more than an affair. She doesn't know John is still married.
There was some question as to whether or not John was being totally honest with Denise about separating and divorcing Nikki.
John seems to struggle with his honesty on many fronts.
I think in the beginning, John wanted it a couple of ways.
Yeah.
He wanted to have a loving wife at home with a family and a mistress.
For John, divorce isn't an option.
Filing for the divorce would have meant that he failed, and that's not John's personality.
And when it comes to personalities, Denise and Nikki couldn't be more different.
I would say that Denise and Nikki were polar opposites. Denise was a successful business person, very outgoing, just somebody who was not a wallflower, somebody who would be the life of a party. Where I would say Nikki was not that.
Then, just when it seems John's career can't get any busier, work makes him an offer.
John got a position in 2006 to move to the Oxnard area, which was about a three-hour drive from San Bernardino.
Hi.
You're home late. How was work?
I'm being transferred.
Not again.
Corporate called him and said, if you want to make it to the next level, this is what you need to do for us.
I can't do it, John.
It's important, Nikki. It's work.
Nikki didn't want to move again because it would have been the fourth move in less than 3 years, and her, you know, her family was there local and their church. She just didn't really want to move.
If it's so important to you, you're going to have to go without us.
The line in the sand Nikki drew was, if you're going to take that job, you're going to have to commute because I'm not moving the kids again.
Fine.
He moves to Oxnard by himself and travels back to Nikki and the kids on weekends.
Yeah, they were 5 days apart from each other every single week. It grew them apart further than they were already grown apart.
But for John, it's the perfect opportunity for his affair with Denise to kick into high gear.
She was very romantic and sexy and sultry and extremely attracted to John physically and made John feel like, you know, the hottest guy in the room. And he felt the exact same way about her.
John was living a life that could not escape turmoil. That's what his life was all about, because he had a wife and he had a girlfriend.
John struggled a lot because even though he'd met the love of his life, there was many times where he felt like it was just too late, that he'd already made a commitment.
Before long, Nikki's instincts tell her something isn't right.
She went from driving out Monday morning, you know, at 4 a.m. and driving straight to work to driving back to his apartment in Oxnard on Sunday night.
Hi, you reached John Hillrich. Please.
Sometimes, you know, making an excuse of why he couldn't come home at all that weekend.
Desperate for answers, Nikki seeks support from her family.
Hi, Mom.
Nikki's parents decided to hire a private investigator, and then when they found out that he was seeing somebody, that's when they contacted Nikki to let her know what was going on.
Devastated. I think she had to have been devastated. You know, that's who she thought she was going to raise her kids with.
One thing is certain, she's not ready to call it quits.
John called me out of the blue one day and said, I think I'm being followed. And my guess was, no, I think they're probably got a tracking device on you somewhere.
John takes his truck to a garage.
The technicians knew exactly where to go look and found a tracking device that had been placed on his pickup truck.
Nikki! Nikki!
What?
It's over. We're done.
What are you talking about?
I know you've been spying on me.
So? I wouldn't have to if you'd just be home with us.
I can't be with you.
What?
It doesn't matter anymore. It's over.
John represented himself as somebody who generally makes the right decisions. So John appeared to have this impenetrable, you know, armor. And all of a sudden, somebody found the chink in it.
When John discovered that Nikki was onto him, immediately the facade was burst, the bubble was burst, and yes, I think he was probably upset that he no longer had control about the timetable in which this relationship was either going to be recommitted to or ended.
Oftentimes when people create an image for themselves, they believe it. And I think John thinks he's a great guy who fell in love with someone else, and he's still a great guy. And so he's outraged that he has been duped and betrayed by his wife, who felt a need to put a tracker on his car when he's still being a dedicated husband and father in his mind.
The other thing that I think may be going on here is John is wanting increasingly to get out of this relationship, and he's looking for an excuse, and here it is. I've been betrayed now, so I have a valid basis for withdrawing further or completely from this marriage.
John and Nikki separate, but agree to co-parent.
I can only imagine how Nikki felt about it. You know, that was her co-pilot. That was who she was supposed to raise her kids with, and now he's gone. And now he's with another woman that's official.
Nikki keeps the house. John has visitation on the weekends.
Anyone home? Hey, where are the kids? Park, Sarah!
There's no way John would ever let his kids go without, which meant, because Nikki was raising John's kids, that he wasn't going to let Nikki go without either. You know, financially, he took care of her.
But that means nothing to Nikki. What she wants is something more sinister.
Hello?
May I speak to Denise, please?
Nikki? Why are you calling me?
John told you we're divorced, didn't he? We're not.
What? What are you talking about? How is that possible?
He's lying.
Then Denise would go back to John and say, hey, your wife just called me and said you're not doing the things that you're telling me you are. and they would get into arguments.
Nikki can't leave the couple alone, sending messages and texts, even when they're on vacation.
Don't tell me it's work.
Nikki's missing. She's at the morgue?
One was that Nikki was deceased. Another one was from a morgue. Some calls would hang up on him, or there would be nobody on the line.
He wasn't sure if Nikki was doing it for the attention or if it was actually somebody else doing it.
It was clear to Denise that somebody was harassing their vacation, trying to spoil it for them, and she suspected that it was Nikki.
When's that divorce coming, John?
I think Johnny didn't finalize the divorce because he was struggling with his feelings versus wanting to keep his family together.
Nikki is struggling too. In hopes of moving on, she starts working as a nurse at a retirement home. But John doesn't give Nikki a clean break.
Hey guys.
Hi Dad.
I would often have conversations with John and I'd just say, dude, are you sure you're not leading her on? Does she think that, you know, you're coming back to her? John was definitely worried that he was gonna lose custody of his kids. So he did a lot of things to placate, to pacify her. And one of the things was kind of stringing the relationship along.
Hi, sweetie. Yeah.
After 3 years, Nikki's hopes are dashed.
John and Denise bought a home in Fontana, which is like midpoint between the Yucaipa house where Nikki was with his children and his employment. And this was completely in the open that John was planning on divorcing Nikki and he had a new fiance.
With John and Denise less than an hour away, the wound is reopened.
There was 0% chance of hope. You know, maybe that's what drove her over the edge.
An edge there's no coming back from.
She just became a different person.
If I find out that my ex-wife is hanging out with criminals, I'm going to do what John did. Plain and simple.
After 10 years of marriage and 4 years apart, John and Nikki Hillrich are trying to lead separate lives. John is living with his lover 40 minutes from his estranged wife, while Nikki dives into her job at a nursing home, eager to make new friends.
During Nikki's employment, she met two young men, David and Emilio. They worked in the kitchen. They were some 21, 23 years old. Nikki was pushing 40 at the time, I believe.
Hey, Nikki.
And they were her subordinates.
So, when are you coming over for the tattoo?
I don't know. Does it hurt?
Well, good things hurt, but don't worry. Take it easy on you. It's not so bad.
They were the typical gang bangers types.
And he was showing interest in her, which was making her feel good about herself.
It's a world Nikki doesn't know very well, but is keen to explore.
She had them over to her house to drink and started making them cheesecake and things like that. Just bizarre behavior. David and Nikki were having a sexual relationship. And at times, that included Emilio.
She just became a different person.
She was a chameleon. What she was surrounded by is what she became.
How Nikki would go from somebody like John to somebody like David, there has to be something there. And what we suspected, it involved drug use.
Sometimes people act out in ways that they think are going to pull somebody back into their lives who's withdrawing. They think if I really show that I'm falling to pieces or I'm going in a really bad direction, maybe the other person will come running back and rescue me. Sometimes people are just so desperately out of it that anybody who's around, who's paying attention to them, wants to involve them in any way that makes them feel valued and loved and wanted, is a welcome addition to their lives, even if they're destructive.
When a person has been rejected, it can cause a change in their behavior and their entire character. And I do think that that's what's happened with Nikki. She was very badly rejected. And so in a way, she's trying to take control of her own life and say, I'm not gonna be the person that he wanted me to be or that my parents wanted me to be. I'm gonna be my own person and I'm gonna go and do things that I want to do, even if in the end, they're dysfunctional and unhealthy.
Nikki hides her new lifestyle well.
Several of her neighbors talked about what a wonderful mother she was and how much she loved her children. So she was still maintaining those relationships, even though she was living this darker side to her life.
But she can't hide her transformation from John.
Nikki wasn't the person that she was when they had first got together.
John couldn't stand that. Could not stand that. Couldn't tolerate.
Just as John has to decide what to do about it, his career takes an unexpected turn.
In 2011, the company went through a restructuring, and he was demoted.
John was crushed. Besides going through turmoil in his personal life now, his Midas touch ran out even at work.
But there's a silver lining.
Being demoted was the best thing that ever happened to John. At the time, it wasn't the best, you know, but a month or two later, when he realized how much more time he got to spend with his kids because he had been demoted.
John also uses his newfound time to reconnect with his faith.
He really came back and became a devout Christian again.
He loved God. It really was the fabric of who he was as a man and as a father, as a friend, as a leader in the business.
Until John's daughter makes a horrifying discovery.
Dad? Dad, I'm freaking out.
Why does Mommy have a gun in her room?
John didn't like that. You know, John didn't like that at all. Why did she have it? Well, you know, what was it all about? You know, and John was not very happy.
Ever heard of knocking?
Where is it?
Where's what?
The gun! Sarah said she saw a gun in your room! Why do you have a gun?
Protection, okay? Not that it's any of your business.
If it's near my kids, it's my business.
Concern for his children's safety, John suspects Nikki's new friends may be a bad influence.
John decided to go online and research David Oliveira's name and was really scared at what he found.
He had a prior conviction for unlawful sexual intercourse, which would be having sex with an underage girl. And that was the conviction that really bothered John, because he had an underage daughter.
What would you do? If I find out that my ex-wife is hanging out with criminals, I'm going to do what John did. Plain and simple. And I think that was the start of something very bad.
Nikki Hillrich has gone from church-going housewife to gangbanger's girlfriend. With God on his side, her estranged husband John is ready to do whatever it takes to keep his children safe.
Johnny was very scared and, you know, uncomfortable with the fact that somebody that had had this criminal past was coming around his children.
Make good decisions as adults in the family regarding people we bring around the children in our home.
Johnny and Nikki signed a parenting agreement between the two of them that David was no longer allowed to be around the children.
Sign it.
And that if he was around the children again, she would lose her part of custody.
Nikki.
But Nikki just can't help herself.
Sarah, John's daughter, had told John that David had been coming around the house, and John was done. John was done. He was livid. He was mad. He didn't want that. He was trying to protect his kids, you know, and now she's breaking the agreement that they had. He had had enough.
Their relationship was definitely contentious after the agreement was signed between them. John didn't trust Nikki at all, or the friends she was hanging out with, or the people that she decided to associate herself with. Nikki didn't trust John because she felt like all of a sudden he wanted to end the relationship and get the divorce over with, and he'd never wanted to before.
Frankly, it didn't really surprise me that she didn't stick with the agreement. I was surprised she went as long as she did. She is on some sort of destructive mission to destroy herself and lose everything, and that's exactly what she's doing.
That's when people make really bad decisions, when they're thinking very short-term gratification, what do I want, what do I need right now? When people make good decisions is when they're looking far out ahead and think, what's best for me and my children, my family in the long run? Nikki is clearly somebody who has done that in the past, not doing it now.
Furious, John demands to see Nikki.
You signed it, Nikki, and you messed up.
John told Nikki that if his kids continued to be around those people, that he wasn't going to allow that.
I'm moving back into the house, and I want you to leave without the kids.
John threatened Nikki that he was going to file for full custody of the children. And the evidence that he was going to present to the family court was her relationship with David and Amelia.
Are you crazy? No way. This isn't over.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Nikki was furious. You know, felt like John was betraying her.
I told John, I think you're crazy if you think she's just going to give up like that.
John just wanted to protect his children.
Nikki chastised Sarah for telling John about David still coming around the house.
Attempting to reach a middle ground, John and Nikki agree to meet at their therapist's office.
I'm gonna check it out.
The couple will never make that session.
You know, John never meant for anything bad to happen to Nikki.
August 16th, 2011. The Ontario Police Department receives some 911 calls of shots fired in a parking structure. It's in a business office complex. Very, very unusual place for shots to be fired. They just walked up to him and shot him.
John was spun around some, but he
went to the ground. And then the last shot, we believe, was a coup de grace shot where he was shot behind the ear.
The first task for police, check the surveillance footage.
You could see a truck pull up to the victim, a man get out. It was brutal. He never stood a chance. They just approached him and shot him and left. It's difficult to imagine a scenario why someone would want to kill a businessman like that. They didn't steal anything from him. They didn't rob him. That points in the direction that this was a planned hit.
But quickly, the investigation points in another direction.
He was going to a therapy session for his children. That points towards turmoil. The robbery's missing. The carjacking type evidence is not there. That points you away from that and towards a spouse.
Hello?
As a police officer, you make these phone calls and these notifications all the time. They're called death notifications. It's a brutal, miserable experience. But what you learn early on in your career is there is an expected response. It's a response of devastation and brutal, pathetic emotion. It's always like that.
I see.
It's terrible.
She had an absence of the expected, brutal despair. She didn't say, oh my God, what happened? She didn't say anything like that. So I wanted to quickly contact her, isolate her.
Can you meet me at the hospital?
Okay.
She wasn't flustered. She didn't have to write the directions. She said she would look it up on her phone. She was way too much in control. Way too much in control.
Ontario, California PD bring Nikki in for questioning. Does she know more than she's letting on?
Are you kidding me?
Without that, we would have been days behind.
They were just shocking.
John and Nikki Hillrich are headed to a showdown at their counselor's office when somebody puts four bullets into John in a parking garage. Surveillance footage points to an unknown killer. Police are questioning everyone, including John's ex-wife.
I was waiting for John at our therapist's. He was late, so I texted him.
It's a solid alibi.
Within 2 minutes or so, Nikki is sending texts to John. She sent a text to his mother saying, have you heard from John? And that was just patently ridiculous because nobody's going to start texting somebody, where are you, when they're only 2 minutes late.
As Detective Para interviews Nikki, information from an eyewitness is confirmed.
The gentleman who worked for the Federal Department of Transportation, he heard the gunfire.
He's on the fifth floor of one of those high-end office buildings, and he happens to have a pair of binoculars on the windowsill next to his desk. And thankfully, he writes down the license plate of the truck leaving that garage right after the shots are fired. Without that, we would have been days behind.
When police trace the truck, it turns out to be owned by a woman, an ex-lover of none other than David Olvera's.
And what do you know? She tells us that she had lent that car just the hours before to David and Emilio, and that they had just returned it to her.
The police arrest David Olvera and Emilio Saldana on their way to Mexico. That's when the whole investigation opens up. David's confiscated cell phone has texts from Nikki that detail where and when John can be found alone.
The morning of August 16th, David Olvera sent Nikki a picture via text of John Hillrich's parking spot. And accompanying the picture was a message saying, "I missed him." And Nikki's response was, "Don't worry, you'll get him next time." We have a term in California when we talk about premeditated murder, that we talk about lying in wait. And this was a perfect example of these two men lying in wait for John Hillrich to come out so that they can kill him.
With the cell phone evidence in hand, police are convinced David and Emilio are the killers. And their connection to Nikki is damning.
Do I have to be here much longer?
Just bear with us.
Detectives would feed me more information because they knew I was interviewing Nikki.
Nikki Hillrich, you're under arrest for the murder of John Hillrich.
The nail in the coffin comes when the police make another discovery.
We found in Nikki's purse were post-it notes, handwritten by her, saying that John Hillrich must die and thanking David for doing it.
John Hillrich has to die today. Please, please, please. He's ruining my relationship with my children, my finances, my life.
They were just shocking.
John, I'm sorry it had to come to this. You pushed me to the limit. You just wouldn't mind your own business. You're not a man. I don't want our children to grow up to be like you. I am doing what I sincerely feel is best for the kids and I. I can't reason with you. You're a crazy bitch and you can't even see it. Rest in peace. I will take good care of them.
She said she'd be a better mother, a better nurse, a better friend, a better daughter, a better Christian after he was gone.
It was astounding.
The notes that Nikki is writing are what I would call thought broadcasting, where she is just needing to get these thoughts out. Saying them out loud isn't enough, and so putting them on paper makes them more real. I believe that John ultimately ended up dead because the perfect storm was created. Nikki clearly is equipped with the capability of harming someone or asking someone to harm someone, but I also believe that the series of events that followed, his betrayal and leaving the marriage, her getting into drugs, her getting mixed up with a couple of men who'd be more than happy to help her get rid of her husband, all were combined to help ultimately lead to John's death.
So, had John not cheated on Nikki, may we never have seen the capacity within her to commit extreme sociopathic acts. Well, yeah, we might not have. But the fact is, he did it, and we did see extreme sociopathic acts come out of Nikki that are reflective of a capacity that I think was there long prior to her having even met John.
The sticky notes seal Nikki's fate.
One of the things that they did do is really open the juror's eyes so they could see what a cold-blooded woman this was. The one where she said John Hillrich must die today and just lambast this man and call him names and try to say, I'm going to be a better mother, a better Christian. Are you kidding me?
On July 16th, 2015, Nikki Hillrich is sentenced to a minimum 26 years in prison for the first-degree murder of her ex-husband, John.
Drugs probably played a part in that, but it's not a defense. Drugs or no drugs, you still know what you're doing. And Nikki abandoned her children, orphaned them, all in the name of her own selfish stupidity.
She will have missed out on her children's graduation from high school. She'll have missed out on their weddings, the early lives of her grandchildren. And I feel bad for her children because she made such a selfish decision to have this done and to rob her children of their father.
David Olvera and Emidio Saldana, who already have strikes against them, get 50 years to life. His loved ones say that even in death, John got what he wanted, safety for his kids.
Even if he knew that he was going to die by confronting and, you know, he still would have done it because, you know, his kids are safe and they are being taken care of.
John was a great father. He died for them. How much better of a father could he possibly be?
I want to hear his voice. I've gone through a lot of things in my life, you know, since then that he would have guided me on and helped me on and led me through.
John was a good dude.